Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 117. Yes, it has been a couple of weeks, and we missed you. And so we're back. And, of course, I do this every week with my buddy, my partner in crime, Kane. The reason Batwoman went gay. No, I'm sorry.
Wow.
Ouch.
Sorry.
Somebody's on fire today.
Yeah, I've been that way all weekend, so. So how you been, man? I know it's been a couple. I know you and I have seen or talked to each other, and well, we have seen each other. But you know, it has been a couple of weeks. We're just giving ourselves a little breather for the podcast because we also have. You've got a new show that you're producing right now. We're kind of doing together, and then of course you know you have your Low Blows and Chair Shots, which we're doing some modifying there. So unfortunately, Heroes Asylum is kind of taking the hit as far as like time. You know, being able to be spent on it. So, but
yeah, there's only so much time, but I think, you know, as they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So we're back and I'm glad to be back. We have some good stuff to talk about. Actually, lots of good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2 weeks worth.
I was trying to be a little bit more current.
So was I, but yeah, there were some things that happened 2 weeks ago. I was like, man, we really need to talk about this.
Yeah,
this is really good.
You know, when I was talking to you earlier and you told me about what you had, I was like, oh, dude, that was 2 weeks ago. I forgot all about that. It kind of like slipped my mind. I was like, oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. So we'll talk about it today, but I'm glad we're here. You're here. I'm glad we're all here. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, we're doing good. So this week, guys, we do have June. We're starting on our Midnight Movies show. We're starting to we're done with our decades themes. We're now delving into each month's going to have a specific theme. This month specifically, we're going to be doing Superman. So Wednesday, we are going to be releasing All-Star Superman, one of my favorite animated movies and graphic novels, as well as... Is there a hair on my camera? Hold on, guys. I'm so sorry. I think I just noticed that.
Ew.
There's like this little hair gang, and I'm like, what is that? And then the week after that, we're going to actually go old school, and we're going to go talk about and watch along to Superman 1978 with Christopher Reeves. So, yeah, this is definitely a fun time for the Midnight Movies because we're getting a lot of different themes that we're going on. We're going to have a Batman month. We're going to have a James Bond month. We're going to do Matrix. I think you even said we're going to do like a sports month. So
we have sports month and we have a music month, which is – I was thinking music autobiographies, but I think we're going to change that, alter it a little bit to make it about music movies and – do reviews and stuff. I think you were talking about a couple we could do.
Yeah. So I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to change it up. Well, let's start off with the big one. I know this is going to probably be the first one, and it is yours. So we're going to, you know, the first story or subject that we're going to have. I'm going to pass it off to you, man, because it was the most recent news that came out, and I know you and I both got excited about it when somebody posted something.
Yeah, Andy Muschietti, he posted his first image from the Flash movie, which happened to be the Batsuit. Not just any Batsuit. If you guys are big OG fans, this is the Michael Keaton Batsuit from Batman Returns 1992, circa. Same exact thing with a splash of blood? What could that mean? I don't think it means anything. I think he's just doing it just to mess with us. But it's kind of nice seeing that suit again. You know, it's been, God, what, 92, almost 30-something years we've seen that suit back on the big screen, but we're getting it again. It'll probably be altered in some kind of way, but it looks like it's going to be pretty much the same. And if you're a hardcore Bat fan like I am, that's one of the best emblems as far as like movie production goes on a suit that I've enjoyed. Because that's like the true symbol with the bat and the yellow in the background. So I got a little excited watching it.
What'd you think? Yeah, me too. Yeah, when I saw it, I wasn't watching. It was just the picture. I really got excited. One thing I thought of, and I'm looking at one of the articles, and they kind of thought the same thing. What other symbol that have we ever seen in comic books that had a little blood splatter?
Watchmen.
I know it's not that, but that was like that was the first thing that kind of like took me right in was, is that a nod to Watchmen? I mean, I do know. We're delving into a multiverse scenario. Would
if
they
show up? I mean, that'd be so what, like Keaton's Batman is in the Watchmen world?
No, just who knows? We don't know. You got to realize they are honestly, like they said last year during the DC fandom, they're connecting everything. We already saw that last year in Flash. Mm-hmm. We saw the two Flashes meet. We saw the DC, you know, EU movie, and we saw the Arrowverse Flash meetup. I have a funny feeling we're going to see Grant in this, and we might see some other jumps going on, may see Watchmen.
I mean, he's got Supergirl in there, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of role she's going to play.
And is it our Supergirl or is it a different Supergirl?
No, I don't know. Like, they showed pictures of her on set and she cut her hair all short. And then somebody had looked in a comic and they found a version of Supergirl where her hair was all short and like a black suit. I've never seen that version.
Supergirl, when she was in the white costume with the red cape. Yeah, she had short bobbed hair too. So there's two. Okay. Yeah, there's different versions out there. You got to realize there are so many different versions of Supergirl out there. You have the actual cousin of Kal-El. You also have one that she was an alien from a different world and morphed herself to be Supergirl. That was the Supergirl during the death of Superman, who was romantically linked with Lex Luthor at that time. So you do have a plethora. I'm going to steal from El Wapo, plethora. Yeah, plethora of different Supergirls out there. So who knows? Or somebody else mentioned it could have been that Keaton just sold a jelly donut on his suit. And
yeah, but to post it up there,
why not? Why not? That what better way to get us to talk about his movie than to post something silly like that and have nothing to do with it, but to keep it in the lexicon keep people talking about it. That's just what they do. There's, you know, every once in a while somebody will post something. It's got, you know, and they're like, they haven't changed anything in their production. They just post something to get somebody giddy about it, and that's it.
Yeah, it's excited, and then I'm excited. Yep. I mean, I don't know about you, but it just, I'm looking for, like, I was not looking, like, here's the thing. I didn't want this Flash movie, but we're getting it. Yeah. No choice. Yeah. Now I'm excited to see it. Like, I like the things they're doing. I like what Muschietti has done. You know, he did It Part 1 and Part 2. Part 1 was a little better than Part 2, but I'm interested to see where he's going with this. He hasn't said anything about Flashpoint, but he has mentioned multiverse and time travel. So maybe we're going to get a form of Flashpoint. I mean, you have two Batman in the movie so far, Keaton and Affleck, right? So who knows where they're going to go? I mean, they're probably going to borrow hints from Flashpoint. Like, I don't think they'll borrow that, like the Atlantean.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do the full.
They're not going to go that deep, but no. They're going to borrow like hints from it. Like, one of the things about the Arrowverse Flash, when they had their arc of Flashpoint, which I hated, which I thought was stupid, because it had nothing to do with Flashpoint. It's like, oh, it's Flashpoint, but it's not. So,
did Civil War have anything to do with Civil War?
Yeah.
Did Infinity Saga have really anything to do with what we saw?
No, they borrow
everything. Yeah, anything that's up there, I'd say it's just the title they're going to use. You know, that's really all it is, and I just move on. Like, just don't be rude and stupid about it. And so far, everybody has paid homage and respect and has not, you know, disrespected the source material. They may not put it all up there as much as we want as fanboys, but we've gotten some form of it. And I'll go back to what I think you and I talked about this about 2 years ago. It was like, you know what? My 10-year-old self or 15-year-old self, if I went back and said, hey, yes, we're going to get all this stuff on the big screen and on your television, and you're going to see multiple days of the week where you're going to see a superhero TV show or a comic book show or something along those lines daily, and at least six times a year you're going to get a big movie out.
My answer would have been like, when do I have to sell my soul?
Yeah, no, honestly, my answer, I know my answer would have been, yeah, you're full of crap, dude. Go away. Who are you? Why are you saying you're me?
Get out of here.
But yeah, that's so.
I want to see that conversation. Yeah. Long-haired Mike versus
long-haired Mike back then. The day looked like Jesus, by the way, beard and long hair. So yeah, I got Jesus comments.
Fan art with that. I want to see that. I want to see old Mike versus past Mike.
Yeah, I should do that for Friday Night Fight on Facebook.
You should do that. So what else do you have?
For the second story, actually, I have Zachary Levi looks striking in the bold new Shazam suit, though we're still kind of in the dark about it. I was kind of iffy about the suit when I saw it.
I dig the fact that he doesn't have the fake muscles, though.
Yeah, I'm cool with not the fake muscles. It just I'm looking at it right now, and it's like the – I know it's a really dark scene. Like everything, you know, he even jokingly makes this comment. You know, shouldn't we have more light in this? And I've seen one a little bit different about it, and it looked like it was a lower cut on his chest.
Yeah, like very V, low V-neck style.
Yeah, that's really cool. Low V-neck, and the, like the lightning bolt was a little bit smaller. I don't know. To me, I was like, I don't know why folks like to toy with something like that. You know, Batman's Batman. You do some modifications, but you keep the core of the suit there. I understand true. Captain America got some changes, but you know, but they were minor changes, maybe a little bit color differences, you know, maybe body armor a little bit different, but it still looked like Captain America. I don't know. I'm still looking forward to it. Again, we are still pretty much in the dark still. We do know that we are getting the family back.
Which is one of the cooler moments in the first Shazam movie. I think when we did that, check out our movie review. I think it's in the archives. That was the biggest thing walking out of the first Shazam movie that I loved, that I was not expecting.
No.
I'm glad. I am so glad, too, that I didn't look on the internet or anything else, because that was a shock to me. It's like, what? Really? They're doing Shazam Family now? And I walked out just giddy. I'm like, you know what? This movie could have sucked, but you gave me something. And now it doesn't suck to me.
And that fact, I mean, it wouldn't have been on the internet other than people going out and spoiling it because it wasn't ever talked about. And so, you know, I was really happy with that. But yeah, so we're going to get Shazam, Fury of the Gods. So expect, I think, some cameos. I do know we're not getting Superman. Unfortunately, Henry Cavill will not be on this one. Most recent thing I read, again, based off of this article that came out, it did say that he was not going to be on there. But, you know, right now we do have the return of the family, you know, coming back. Yeah. So we'll see where we go. But I think we're going to see more, and we may even see, I know there's a lot of talk going on with that movie getting, you know, ready to go into production, Black Adam. I mean, that would be the perfect time, maybe not have a full battle scene with them, but have the introduction of, you know, have Dwayne walk on set and at the very end or something.
Yeah, just him like showing up, like says he's like, I know you, or I don't know, something like that along those lines. I mean, I don't know. He ain't gonna say, do you smell what a Black Adam's cooking? I mean, he ain't doing that, but well, that'd be hilarious if he did.
And we're not gonna get a Black Adam bottom. So would that be right? The Rock Bottom. Yeah, Black Adam bottom. Yeah.
The Black Adam bottom, that sounds dirty. Yeah.
the Black Adam elbow.
You mean the Fury of the Gods elbow?
Yeah, the Fury. There we go. That's good. Thanks.
I like that Fury of the Gods. That's dope. I could have brought that from the Lolos and Chair Shots.
All right. So, what's your next one?
Hey, did you check? I mean, me and you are big fans of the McFarlane lines. I mean, you actually collected the entire White Knight series.
White Knight in one random one from the Metal series.
Okay.
That Jokerized Nightwing.
Oh yeah, I picked up two today. It's part of the next wave he's doing. It's build a figure for the Dark Father, and I picked up the Robin King, who looks really cool and like Death Metal Superman, really dope. As long haired, he looks like Andrew WK. Anyway, he released another line. I got his damn song in my head. Holy McFarlane Toys, he's releasing 1966 Batman, which basically is the 66 Batman, which is gently loved. He's got the Joker, he's got Robin, he's got Batman, he's got the Batcave, and he's got the Batmobile, which I pulled it up right now in the images, and it looks ridiculous. The just how detailed this thing is. I don't even know if I want to buy these figures, but the Batmobile is going to be a must. I'm buying the Batmobile. Maybe not the figures. Maybe the Batcave. Maybe I'll buy them. I don't know. What do you think? Have you seen the images?
No, I have not yet. That's why I'm pulling them up right now.
Pull them up now. Sorry, I didn't mean to get mean. But they look pretty cool. Look how detailed that is.
Yeah, it's me. It's one of those. So I don't know if I'd be cool with them doing too much, because there's something cheesy about it, and it has to remain cheesy.
I know. It just,
let me see.
The car looks cool, though.
Okay, yeah, that's sticking to it. Okay, yeah, no, I'm not upset with that. That's cool.
They got the Romero Joker, the George Romero Joker there. And, I guess it's the only ones. I think he's doing a Riddler, and he's doing a Penguin as well. They're not pictured. Hoping for like a Catwoman and Penguin, at least are musts. Rumors say the Frank Gorshin Riddler is going to be there. An unmasked Batman with a surf swim trunks. I have to get that one. That's a must. I'm putting it on the list. Sorry, but what does this make you want to buy? Yay or nay?
No. I've never been a big collector of anything 66 Batman.
Yeah, neither have I.
If he came out with like the 70s and like the Super Friends style, yeah, I'd probably jump on board with that.
Ooh, that'd be
that again. But that's what I grew up on. Now I did grow up on Batman, you know, the 66 Batman, you know, in syndication and watching it, but I just collecting it. No, I'm looking at him. I mean, they're what I would. I'm happy he went with. He didn't go, you know, McFarlane on it. You know, no. he kept which shows he has respect for it. Now, are those cloth capes on those, or are they the hard plastic? And I can't really tell.
Hard plastic. It doesn't look like the cloth.
Okay, just the way the Robin looks. The Robin looks like it's almost a little bit.
Yeah, the Robin looks very clothy, and it looks very. Yeah, look at that. I don't think Adam West was never that big. They made him a little bit bigger.
That's what I was afraid of, if they were going to make him too big or what. But that looks fine. You know, I mean, there's not much definition in the leg. He's still got the string bean legs. You know?
Yeah,
the
string bean legs. They both do. I like the Romero Joker there. It looks pretty cool. That's spot on.
But yeah, no, I won't be. Well, now, did they say? I'm looking at one of them. I think this is the Twitter post that he put up. It doesn't say anything about it being a Build-A-Figure too.
No, I don't think it's a Build-A-Figure, but I know he's releasing the Batmobile, and I know he's releasing those three, and I know he's going to release the Gorshin Riddler. I know those are coming.
Now, he doesn't usually release, like, vehicles that much, does he? I've only seen...
He released the Raptor, which is last year. Then he has the Bat Cycle, the Cool Skull Cycle, which I showed you. And then he's...
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so I guess he's releasing this one again. I mean, hope so. I'll buy it. The Batmobile, I'm definitely going to buy. But the figures, I gotta think about. Because, like you said, that's a point in time in Batman history. Just, you know, I like to keep.
It's respected. It's loved. I'm just not a collector of it.
There you go. Thank you.
I don't know if I would like make room on my shelf for something that like that. Like I said, if they did like the 70s and 80s Batman, like the early, late 70s, early 80s Batman, where it was like that black and almost borderline kind of what that is, like in the color of his mask, where it's black and then the blue on the top. I would definitely jump on board for something like that. Like if he ever redid the whole like I said the Super Friends series, because I that's one of the things I remember collecting when I was a kid was the Super Friends.
I had the Superman, the Batman, the Wonder Woman. I had all those, not all of them, but I had a couple of them.
And I believe I had the Migos Batman and I had Migos Batman and Green Lantern and Robin. I remember those three when I had them, and I remember them being Migos and. Not really knowing what they were at the time, you know. Again, I was just a little 6-year-old kid. So
only would have known.
I think that Green Lantern one stuck around with me for a long time because he was part of my love for Green Lantern was from that.
That was Hal, right?
Yeah. Back then, yeah, it was Hal. Yeah, because you really didn't. They had some of them out there, but they were more the aliens. You didn't have. I don't think my hero had been released yet.
Guy,
of course, you know, Kyle wasn't until the 90s, so yeah, I think it was primarily that, yeah, and
yeah, because after Hal was John was after,
yeah,
Hal,
and I don't think John was around that much either, so
Guy was early, yeah, that's about right,
So my next one, Doctor Strange, number two, the sequel coming out, The Multiverse of Madness. Doctor Strange 2 writer addresses Loki's connection to Benedict Cumberbatch's sequel. We know Loki's coming out this week, folks. We're going to get Loki the 9th of June, so 3 days from now, so actually it'll be Wednesday, which is weird that they're releasing it on Wednesday, but I think it's going to kick in on Friday. But this is weird. This is one of the first times we actually have the an overlapping with Marvel and Marvel and Star Wars shows on Disney, because we have Bad Batch on Friday. So I think that's probably why they're releasing Loki on a Wednesday, because I don't know if they want to double up, you know, and hit, you know, two shows on the same day.
So you think eventually it'll push it back to Friday, probably after the first couple of weeks?
I think, well, no, because I think that because you still have what they're only on episode 5 or 6 of Bad Batch. They got another 10 episodes.
Oh, they got that many?
Yeah, no, they're going 16 episodes. Yeah, you and I talked about this when they first rolled it out. Yeah, now this is a 16-episode series. They're not.
How long is Loki?
I think, is the typical 8. I think it's going to hit like the normal 8. But no, Bad Batch is a long series for a change. When I, you know, when they originally said they were releasing it, it was 16 episodes. That's why I like that they're taking their time on how Bad Batch is building and how they're building Omega. And, you know, you're still not sure who she is, what she is, and exactly what's going on. I love this week's episode. If nobody's seen it, you know, a little quick spoiler. Have you seen it yet, the newest one?
No, I haven't seen it. Okay. I've seen the first.
There is a throwback to the last season of Clone Wars when they were introduced. The series of episodes that followed it, where it was the sisters, the Martez sisters, they come back for this episode, which I thought was awesome. I was like, is that the Martez? Yes. Awesome. Nice. Nice, you know, little throwback so people could see it, knowing that, hey, you know what, that their time with Ahsoka meant something, that what they're doing something that's not just for them anymore, that they're now part of something a little bit bigger. And, of course, you get a nice, good old-fashioned Clone Wars, like, throwback in the episode as well, even though it's just a few months after the Clone Wars. But
like I said, I've seen the first three, and it's pretty good. It's about what I thought it was going to be. So nothing different. I think there's one shocker that happened of one certain person showing up, but I didn't even know she was going to show up. And other than that, I've been pleasantly surprised with it. You know, like I said, I like the Bad Batch. I was one of the few. I think you liked them even more than I did. You were kind of the one that kind of threw me on the bandwagon of the Bad Batch. Once I saw them, I'm like, oh, these guys are cool. I hope they get their own series.
Well, I think you were kind of iffy about why are we getting an extra season? And I was like, I think, you know, this is their time of closing it up. And they had really already done the Bad Batch at the end of season 6. Like, those episodes of Bad Batch had already been out. They had been released once the series didn't get picked up for the 7th season. I think Filoni or somebody leaked them out to YouTube, and you could watch the 3 episodes of Bad Batch on YouTube in the animatics sequence. And basically, we've talked about this before, but animatics is all it is like, you remember the what were they called, the things where we had a scene and you could put the characters on there? They were like the vinyl characters. You can move them around, and they were just in one pose.
Is this stop motion or something?
No, that's the style of movie making. But imagine that kind of toy, but imagine it in an animated version. So it's stop, but it's the same character. He's just in this one pose, and they just move him across the screen. That's what animatics are. They're like, this is something for the voice actors to do to match to their voice to, and we're just going to get somebody to animate it later. Mm-hmm. And that's what was released on YouTube right after season 6, you know, ended, and they didn't pick up for the Clone Wars. So that's why I was a big fan once I actually saw it. So I was like, oh, they're finishing the animatics, and because then we get to see more of them. And they just were fun. I just the characters, and yes, they're your typical tropes of any military team. There's the brain.
What do we call them? The A-team in space?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
That's what they are. They're the A-team in space, but they're really, I like them because they're so distinct. They're distinguished. Each character is different from the other character, which makes the Bad Batch unique in itself because, you know, the whole history of the clones, they're created basically as, you know, what they were. They're all the same, but these guys weren't. They kind of fell off the wagon. They're literally the Bad Batch, and hence, there you go. You got a series called Bad Batch. Check it out, kids. I've seen the first 3 episodes. I think it's pretty good, and I'll have to catch up. What are they, in episode 5 or 6 now?
5 right now.
Okay, so I'm close. I can get to
it. Yeah. But basically what we were talking about is it was the Loki series is getting ready to start this week, and the writer from Doctor Strange 2 says all these stories in their own way are interconnected. We already saw that at the end of WandaVision, and there are ramifications. So I think that certainly our aim with the Loki series was for it to have a wide-reaching ramification across the MCU moving forward. So you know, as I'm having to clean up some of the messes that I made with, you know, so maybe this will help. So it's kind of what I thought is Loki's going to kind of fix some things. You know, Favreau made a nice little, you know, world and everything, and you had different writers, different directors, and sometimes things didn't kind of add up. There were plot holes. So maybe we're going to see some connection here or corrections going on, not connections, but some corrections to some of the things that happened, and hopefully it'll clean up the MCU.
And a way, what are they called, the TMI or the Time Bureau, whatever that he's going into?
Like, yeah, once I realized what he was doing, I was like, oh, okay, this is where they're going to try to clean up a little bit. We did see everybody, or, you know, everybody saw, you know, at the very end of WandaVision that, you know, she was there and she was learning her magic. So we know she's coming back for Doctor Strange. I got a feeling Loki's going to be connected in it somehow. I think we're going to see Loki being Loki throughout the rest of the MCU from here on out, like him kind of popping around.
Do you think he comes back, like in Thor: Love and Thunder, maybe for a cameo?
Yeah, like I said, from here on out, I think we're going to see Loki around, kind of like fixing things. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they reference a character that was already in WandaVision, and it actually was Loki.
That'd be kind of cool.
You know,
I mean, he can do that master disguise and everything. Like, yeah, he walks away.
Yeah, so I have a feeling that we're going to see some things going on here, but I'm looking forward to Loki. I can't wait. I love Tom Holland or Tom Hiddleston. Sorry, you know, in what he did to the character, and I love the fact that we're not going to have the redeemed Loki. This is still the trickster.
Yep.
You know, that's the one thing I hope everybody remembers. Yeah, the Loki we're getting hasn't made up with his brother, and they haven't become sort of chummy. You know, This is post Avengers. Loki, yeah, who just got his ass kicked by the Hulk. So,
yeah, so he's still pissed off. He hasn't gone back to Asgard yet. He's on his own, and he's fixing time, which is gonna be interesting. I'm gonna check that out. What do I got here? Hey, guess what? Netflix is canceling a series. Not that I thought they would. They're canceling Jupiter's Legacy after only one season, but they're ordering Super Crooks 2 series. I checked out Jupiter's Legacy last month. I had never read the book. You had read the book. I loved it. I thought for what it was, it's almost to me, like I told you before, it's the death of the morals of Superman. Not Superman himself, like the moral, like what he stood for. And that's why I think the main character, Utopia, was about. He was almost like that regal Superman version. He's like, hey, we have to do things a certain way. No killing, no crime. And the whole series, as it went on, you could see that style of thinking was fading. Like, we're going into a new era of things, a new way of thinking. Evolution. Like, the brother knew that. The brother thing threw me off. But throughout the whole series, you saw that. Like, characters questioning things. Even Utopia and his wife were questioning things. And like, can we still do the same things that we did, like, 40 years ago? And that was the big question. I'm kind of shocked they canceled it, but we're getting Super Crooks. I mean, what did you think about this? You're the resident expert on Jupiter Legacy.
Well, so I did read the first couple of volumes of the series. I didn't read all the volumes, so it was, you know, a little long. But I did, you know, at least, you know, read the first couple ones. And I felt, after reading the first volume really was quick. They jumped into what we didn't find out until the very last episode of who was truly the big baddie. We knew that, like, I think by page 6 or 7.
But this series,
you didn't know the brother was. Sorry, guys, we're spoiling a little bit here, but you know, we didn't know that the brother was the baddie in all of this. And I thought the story that they wrote and built up in the Netflix series was so much better. There was textures and layers to these characters. And yes, it did sort of fall in a political view of kind of what we're going through right now, which I thought was great that they grabbed that book and used it now, is that, you know, we're at a moment where we have a large group of people in our country, not the world, but in our country, that are being faced with, well, the old things and the old ways and things I was used to aren't there anymore. You know, they are still in a little bit. You know, we still don't want to do certain, you know, cross certain lines, but I have to learn to now maneuver myself into a new mindset. You know, the world's changing. I have to learn to change with it. I can't be just this, you know, static type person. You have to learn to bend. And that's, you know, what I felt like they were doing. And like you were saying, it's Superman. It's the death of the golden age of Superman and him becoming the current Superman, where he's taking off his glasses and saying he's Clark Kent. Things are changing. And it's, like I said, it's a great allegory for the world right now. Because even in our little world of comic books and Star Wars and sci-fi and everything, we have that generation that fights that, you know, Star Wars, the new Star Wars isn't the new Star Wars. You know, they have trouble dealing with the fact that certain things have changed. And Star Wars written back 40 years ago, yeah, it's going to be written a little bit different because it's a different society that we're dealing with. And like I said, I think a lot of people didn't like watching it because it was too harsh of a mirror.
Yeah, it's a
I mean, really.
You have to take a hard look in the mirror, like,
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm happy that they were continuing. I know that they were continuing the Miller into the Millerverse, which it's great. I hope they do because I've loved everything he's done. Anything he's put out, you know, on Celluloid, I thought has always been great. So I'd like to see more. I just wish they would at least held on to this one and finished the cliffhanger. At least do one more season. You know, have the super crooks kind of intermingled and have them kind of bouncing back and forth. But yeah, they canceled out all the contracts and said, "See you guys. Sorry, we're done."
I wonder if they actually finish it. Maybe like in the first couple episodes of Super Crooks. Maybe
I would hope, but too much to wrap up. Like we literally just got to the island, you know, and we were literally just finding out the brother's the sneaky douche.
Yeah,
there's still a lot more that they can cover.
Maybe they'll do a movie or something. I don't know.
Who knows?
It just sucks that that's gone now. I just don't like it.
I thought, what was his name? Josh,
Josh Duhamel?
Yeah, I thought he did an amazing job. I thought his character was great.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was one of his better roles that he's had. Like, I didn't even recognize him. I mean, not even just like the hair, but like his acting. Like, that's not Josh Duhamel.
Yeah. I remember him. What was it? Vegas he was in? It was one of the first shows that I remember him doing that. So
that's the first thing he was. That was with James Caan too, and a couple other actors were on there as well.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big launching pad. So we got some news from the MCU. You know, we have Loki getting ready to start. We're doing Star Wars now. Black Panther TV series with I'm going to butcher it, and I apologize unless you can say it for me.
Dian Guerrero.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Dian Guerrero.
She will be reprising her role as Okoye on the Disney Plus series, and I thought this was perfect. Somebody, I think, in our chat when I posted it about this, somebody had made the comment about they need to recast Black Panther da da da. And I was like, no, this is the perfect time that they can set up the death of him, and what the show can be is her as the commander of the army of Wakanda, them healing and dealing with the death of their king, and whatever way they choose that he dies, and then and then the series follows through to find the next Black Panther.
That's pretty good. That's a good idea, because there's a rich world in Wakanda. I think we talked about the tribes. I think we talked about this, a year ago? Because they announced a Wakanda series. So I think this is it, right?
This is a Black Panther Wakanda Forever is what it's going to be called. That's why I think it's going to be more about Wakanda.
And the tribes.
Yeah.
Wakanda, the civilization, all that. I don't think they're going to hint too much about the Black Panther, but I think it's something you have to address eventually.
Yeah, well, that's why I think it will be addressed throughout the whole series. If the smart thing to do would be to address it throughout the whole series, so that way when Black Panther 2 drops, everything will already be done, and we don't have to spend Black Panther 2 dealing with the repercussions of his death. We can say, okay, we've done it. We've done our mourning period. You know, that this is a great way to show honor and remembrance to the character and the actor. And get that bypass, and then jump into the new story with whatever they choose to do.
Yeah, you can literally end this Wakanda series with, like, obviously they're healing and all that, and then coming to terms, and then eventually maybe Okoye walks into the throne room of the Black Panther and sees an empty throne there. We go, well, eventually somebody's going to have to fill it. And then maybe you have, like, what's her name? What's her sister?
Siri.
Siri, you can see Siri there. Some other ones, maybe Killmonger's alive. They said a lot. They might bring Killmonger back. This is just a rumor. I don't know. I mean, you basically just end that series on a shot of the throne, and that could lead you into Black Panther 2, and whatever they're going to go from there. Because I like the idea. I love the world of Wakanda. It's rich. It's big. But like I said, eventually they're going to have to address the elephant in the room.
I'm saying. The show will address the elephant in the room. They don't have to wait for the series. Or for the movie, they address it in the series. They go through, like, she spends the first two episodes dealing with the mourning, and then they spend the rest of that series finding the next Black Panther. That way, at the very end, she's walking into the throne room with the new Black Panther. And then the new movie starts, And it's that Black Panther's already been chosen, and we already know who it is, and we begin a new story with that Black Panther. Like I'm saying, that you spend that time, you spend this time of this show finding and developing the new Black Panther character. She'll be the lead, but the new Black Panther, it's basically, you know, it's the finding and you know, it's finding Nemo in Wakanda until you find the one, you know, or the end of Cinderella. You know, we've got to find the person that fits this. And that's what the point of the show is to find the Black Panther.
Let's find a Cinderella slipper.
Well, I mean, it's a Disney story, and if they choose Siri, she's another Disney princess. So let's steal from another one.
it'll be interesting. Hopefully, they bring all the cast and crew back from the movies into this Wakanda series.
Looks like everybody. Yeah, at least like you know, we know she's coming back. I'm sure they're going to bring a lot of folks back. It's Disney. These guys, I'm sure, are under contract too. Come back and fill in roles.
I can't wait. Does it have a release date on there? I
know. They're just starting. Let's see. Yeah, no, nothing yet. I mean, we're still looking at the movie. You know, the Black Panther 2 coming out July 8th, 2022. So maybe they'll lead this up to literally where the show ends, and the next week the movie comes out. That would be the smart path to go. So, but we'll see. You know how they do it.
Check it out. Yeah. Be interesting thing to have. I guess I'm next. What do I have here in my little newsy section? Oh, okay. We have this. Joshua Orfeen. He plays Connor Kent in Titans. He teases that in season 3 of Titans, looks like he's going to get into a lot of trouble. There was a poster that was posted on his Twitter page, basically says that Superboy, bring him in, wanted, dead or alive, for season 3, which is coming out in August of Titans. One of my guilty pleasures is Titans. I dig the show. I'm not sure if you still dig it as well. People have had issues with it, saying it's too gritty, too dark. I think they're shying away from that little by little. Hopefully they will in the season 3. But, yeah, looks like Superboy's going to have a lot more to do. Maybe more stuff with Cadmus. Maybe we'll see Luther. We know Barbara Gordon's going to show up this year. We got Scarecrow showing up, Red Hood, obviously. And the majority of the series is going to take place in Gotham. So maybe we see Luther.
I think what we're going to see is him and Crypto back out on the road doing the Bruce Banner thing. I think they're all going to be back out there, and I think what it is, the wanted dead or alive poster is just going to be Cadmus still trying to get him back. I don't think it's anything. Ooh, it's like this major plot change, because I just think it's going to. I think it's more. It really the big plot stuff going on this episode on this this season is going to be the Red Hood. I think I think this is just one of those ones keeping Titans into the lexicon and keeping it on everybody's tongue to bring him up. I think it really is just the wanted thing is just going to be him being wanted by Cadmus still and you know, being tracked down. Maybe they'll bring in the Guardian.
That's what I kind of figured as well. I mean, like I said, that'll be interesting. That'll probably be like a storyline weaved in. But yeah, this season should be mainly about the Red Hood and why he hates the Titans. That's what I want to know.
Well, we already know why. We already feel like he's that. I mean, you saw the very end. It feels like they've turned their back on him. I mean, that's just that he's already built up the angst. You saw that at the very end of season 2. There's no other reason to need explanation. He's a pissed off teenager who's got some pretty cool fucking abilities and able to do certain shit, and he's mad at his friends and his guardian. So
I guess
I don't need much more than that.
Did we predict this that like they were not going to do the Death Knight storyline, obviously, the Red Hood. But we did predict if they had to do it for a TV series, they would do the relationship instead of like Jason and Bruce. It's going to be Jason and Dick, and that's what they set up in season 2.
Like, well, yeah, no, when they initially before season 2 came out, when they were going to bring in Jason, that was the first thing that you and I talked about. You're like, oh, I hope they do the Red Hood thing, and I go, well, the only logical way of doing it is since Bruce is not a big character in the story, is to have the tension between Dick and Jason.
So, and it makes sense too. It makes a lot, and you can feel that tension between both of them. I mean, it makes a lot of sense too in a way. But you have the former Robin and the new Robin, right? I mean, there's tension right there. Like, that's my old job and now I'm doing this. And then the ending of season 2, obviously, I guess he gets pissed off because he's ignored and he's gone. He's going to come back at like a brown leather jacket, cool Red Hood, and we're off to the races.
And they got to deal with the new Robin, because you're going to have Tim Drake.
Well, that'll be interesting. I want to see. Hopefully they do Tim Drake right. I like Tim Drake. So, Yeah, so Titan Season 3, check it out. I think it's August 15th is the release date.
Is it 15th? I thought they changed it.
Hold on, let me see. It just says HBO Max just in August.
Okay, yeah, because originally they released it. I've got one of our friends has an app that really they're so silly about their binge watching and watching shows that they have an app that keeps track of what they've watched. And it gives them updates on new seasons starting, and they sent me a picture. They're like, "Oh, look, here's the date." And I was like, "Yeah, that's the date I saw a couple of months ago." And then like a week later, they sent me another message going, "Oh, never mind, that got changed," because I think it had all the title, like it when they showed the date, it had all the episode titles. But then she said she went back to relook at it, and
it was gone.
She's like, "Well, the all the titles are gone and the dates changed, so maybe they." Bump something around. Again, HBO Max has got a lot going on. They're releasing a lot of stuff, so maybe they, wanted to play a little bit around.
Played with me. I saw a couple of those title names, and it makes sense. It keeps within the Titans theme of, they always have, these bland titles. The first episode of Titans Season 1 was Dick Grayson. So, and then I think Season 3, one of them is Barbara Gordon, one other one's Red Hood, another one's Scarecrow. So.
What was those were the introductions of those, which, makes sense. You want to, this is the episode we're going to be introduced to Barbara Gordon. I don't need a fancy title. Just tell me what's happening. Oh, Barbara Gordon. That means she's going to be on there, and that's when we're the first episode we're going to see her on, probably.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, if she's not in the episode, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, nice swerve there, HBO. Nice job tricking us.
That's a wrestling swerve, man. You think you see Barbara Gordon? No, you're
gonna see Bane. So my next story is Amazon confirms it's buying MGM for $8.45 billion. Of course, no question, no words on restructuring or anything like that. But Netflix, damn, watch out for yourself there. MGM owns the James Bonds, all the James Bond movies. Let's see, 12 Angry Men, Basic Instinct, Creed, Poltergeist, RoboCop, Silence of the Lambs. They also own, and this is one that really piqued my interest, because you know me, I'm a Gator, not a Gator fan, but a Gator from Stargate. MGM owns Stargate. Amazon gets a hold of that, and they're known for trying to revitalize certain things. And there's been talk of, constant talk of Stargate getting restarted. This is what piqued my interest about this buy. I was like, really? Amazon's going to get that, and that is one of the places that you can watch all the Stargate episodes on there. I think you still watch it on Hulu and I think Netflix, but.
Netflix still has a couple ones on there. I think mostly the made for TV movies that they have.
Oh, okay, but yeah, between Stargate and James Bond, I think we're the big ones.
That's huge. Netflix got to watch out now. That's a big library MGM's going to have now. I mean, Amazon obviously now, but that's going to help increase people getting if people who haven't bought the Amazon network, they don't like it, whatever. I mean, just think about it. Let's just say my father, he's a huge James Bond fan, huge, but he has nowhere to watch it right now except for VC, a couple CDs or some kind of streaming channel. But now Amazon's going to get it. Mm-hmm. He's going to watch all the James Bond movies right there.
Yep. As 17,000 TV shows fall under the MGM umbrella. Yeah. So,
That's a lot.
So I'm saying, and they can just lock their shit down and say, "Hey, sorry, Netflix. These are ours. You can go away." I'm not a super fan of the Amazon Prime network, the streaming service. Not a huge fan. They've got some good shows. They did have Invincible. They had The Expanse. They did have the one that Tom. What was it? The one with John Krasinski that just came out. It was like the continuation of. Crap. I can't remember the character's name.
Hold on, let me see.
Tom Clancy, Without a Trace. Yeah, the Tom Clancy stuff. They've got a few things. The rest of it, I'm like, okay. If I can't really find anything to watch on anything else, I'll throw it on. If I'm trying to go to sleep, I'll throw in a documentary off of Prime. But really, that's about it. The main reason I have it is, for ordering stuff through Amazon.
Yeah, we know how much stuff you buy through Amazon.
Simmer down. This podcast wouldn't be here without Amazon. All right.
Touche, touche.
You need to just simmer down with those words. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I was excited. I was just like, man, this is going to be amazing.
That's a lot of IP they bought, too. That's a lot of IP they got. Yeah. That's a ton of stuff. That's like almost getting like you buy Fort Knox full of gold, and now you got to figure out what to do with it. But it's a good problem to have for Amazon. I mean, they're going to have probably more original program, like you said. Maybe the Stargate series, if it's
really I'm hoping, yeah. Well, there's been tons of talk between not only the television series coming back, but also there's been also talk from the guys that wrote the movies. And them coming back and doing a movie. So either way, I mean, give me something. I want to see the gate spin again. I want to see the water splash. I need those moments again in my life. So yeah, that's one of the reasons I thought that was a pretty big deal for the entertainment side of it as well.
You will see the, what is it called? The gold or whatever, that weird gold. Alien.
The gold. Yes. Well, the golds are all dead now, and they ended with the Ori, and they were lame, so hopefully they'll find something new to do. The Ori, they were the villains of the last Yeah, the last two seasons, I think. Yeah, it was just really bad.
Sorry.
But it was still fun. Again, that's the one thing. Those writers, you could make some, they can make some lame villain, but it was still a fun thing to watch. So what do you got?
Oh, I saw a commercial recently. It's Scarlett Johansson popped up, and she basically introduced a new teaser of Black Widow. And basically, she was teasing who is the mysterious Taskmaster. Now, I told you a while ago, probably in some podcast past, which you guys can check out in the archives.
Oh, better, because that's the only time you and I talk.
Pretty much. This is true, ladies and gentlemen. This is very true. But I told you a while ago, like, the more they delay this movie, the least likely I'm just not interested in seeing it. Then I saw the teaser trailer that Scarlett introduced, and it piqued my interest again. I'm like, oh, okay. This is the excitement I was waiting for last year, and pandemic withstanding. Now you're re-releasing, now I'm getting re-energized, like, oh, okay, you know, I needed this. Good move by Disney. I mean, they're not stupid. They know, they probably were thinking the same way I was thinking, like, oh, man, it's been so long, delay. You know, let's get it out there again, refresh it in people's memories. Like, hey, remember this movie? We're still coming out. Scarlett Johansson basically said that, like, hey, look, the Taskmaster, who is he? We don't know. Like, oh, that's right. We don't know who the Taskmaster is yet. So I kind of dig the teaser spot. I'm not sure if you saw it yet, but to me, it gave me a little bit more hope of seeing this Black Widow.
I went to the movies earlier this year, and yeah, they redid another, they threw a trailer out there, and I leaned over to my movie partner, and I was like, you know, I'm excited again for that movie, but you got to realize that movies do that. They'll release two trailers, and then usually a week to 2 weeks beforehand, they release the good, nice, sizzle, freaking awesome reel that you're like, I have to now see that movie. They've had this in the works. Right? They were going to plan to release another trailer before it got dropped, anyways. So yeah, it's just keeping it again.
This gives me hope. I'm glad. You know, like I said, I wasn't looking forward to it, but now I am. And it looks good. I want to find out who the Taskmaster is. Now we can start that rumor again. Who is it? Who's the Taskmaster? Who can it be? It's Robert Downey Jr., dude.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not worried about who he is. He's the Taskmaster. That's all that matters. I don't care who's in the mask. Once they take off the mask, the person's no longer Taskmaster. Sorry.
He's somebody else.
Yeah. That to me, that person just needs to stay behind the mask. Once you put a face to that character, it loses the badass side of him, you know, the badassery. I was going to say it, but I was like, that's not, we haven't been able to put that into the dictionary yet, so I thought I'd, you know, pause on it.
Badassery, man.
The badassery, yeah, but like I said, yeah, there's sometimes, you know, something you've always said, you know, I don't want to know. Not knowing sometimes is the best part of it.
I'd rather not know, but if you're going to tease who it is, I mean, like, let the speculation begin. Like, ooh, could it be?
It's a skinny David Harbour.
Hey guys, it's me, the Taskmaster. Skinny Steve, fucking David Arbor. That'd be hysterical. So yeah, the let me see, it doesn't have a release date. July 9th.
Oh, so July 9th. So but we got a month from now.
So we got a month, yeah. So
a month before I return to the theaters. Make our triumphant return.
I will be making my return to the theaters. I'll be going back to the AMC, so I will see you there.
No, you won't. Buddy. Don't be lying to us, all right? Man, have a record of you lying to us, all right? You know you're going to the Regal. You're not coming out here to see the movie with us, all right?
Well, look, if we plan it out on a Saturday,
oh, my
then we'll see it. How about that?
All right.
If you can wait till a Saturday.
I gotta cater to you. Oh, my goodness.
I'm on the other side of town, man.
I mean, no, you're not. No, when you get off of work and drive down the main thoroughfare, you can get down to Altamont. We always go usually around like 8, 10 or 10 or so, I think we've been doing.
If you go at 10:30, then I can make it.
See, there you go. Stop sucking up there. All right. So my last one, and I just went off a little bit about Stargate, and there's another sci-fi classic coming out to the streaming service, and I cannot wait. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy TV series is beginning production for Hulu. I got to get my Hulu subscription back again, I think. The series will be the second TV adaptation of the novel. It's not the first one, but this is a newer one. The cast for the sci-fi and comedy series has not yet been revealed, but it will be based off, of course, the novel, classic sci-fi novel, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And it's going to be coming from Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan and Lost executive producer Carlton Coos and Wonder Woman writer Jason Fuchs. It looks like an ABC and Disney are producing the series together. So you're going to have a co. So you really know you're going to get some money behind it and some good production, which you sort of need for this. I did love the movie, and I love like kind of the quality of the movie. It wasn't overly sci-fi, but still almost kind of had that British Doctor Who vibe to it as well in certain spots. I hope they keep that feeling to it. And the series has a reportedly going to be renewed for 2 seasons. So we definitely are going to have it. We're not sure if it's going to, they're saying it's likely that it'll be adapted with all 5 novels from that universe. Cause there were a total of 5. They progressively got worse. Unfortunately, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was the first one. Then you had Restaurant at the End of the Universe. And then slowly after that, things sort of started trickling away. So we're not too sure exactly if that's going to be the path that they go.
There's a lot of material in those books too. So it's like you said, it's perfect to go for a series. I enjoyed the movie as well. And when you said it was a very Doctor Who vibe-ish, it was. And I hope they definitely keep that
definitely need to, yeah.
That's something you need to have. I hope they don't take it too. Like, if they take it seriously, it's not going to work. But just if they keep that British vibe, I would dig it especially. What's his name? Bilbo Baggins was in the movie too. If you guys didn't remember, he played the one of the main characters. I forgot his name. I know he's Bilbo Baggins, and he was the agent in Black Panther. What the hell is his name? I forgot. Anyway, but he was the main guy, the Hitchhiker's guy in the galaxy. They probably recast everything, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going
to
be good.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to some of the characters and some of the actors from the movie are no longer with us. I mean, we lost Alan Rickman, who did the voice of Marvin, the paranoid android. So, I mean, you got to really get that character down. You're talking about Arthur Dent, by the way, is the main character that is on there. But yeah, I mean, they really got to find somebody good for Marvin.
Rickman's so good as Marvin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a big. Those are some big shoes to fill.
I just talked to the computer. It hates me.
Yeah, I mean, that was so great. The tone and the presence of it.
He was just depressed, the robot. Like, oh, guys, it's okay. The world's ending anyway. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I got to get me that robot. Maybe I'll get it in a Funko Pop. But any release date on it?
No. Like I said, they're just at the pre-production now. Yeah, they're just starting. Yeah. They haven't even cast anything. So, that's usually the hardest part, especially with a type of book like this to create it over, because you need to capture those characters, and you need somebody to be there. And like I said, I mean, just the voice alone for Marvin's going to be a pain to get. You know who they should get? Oh, God. What? I can never remember his name.
I think David Tennant would be a good choice if they wanted to go that route.
Get off your Doctor Who kick. No, Richard Ayoade. If you ever saw the IT Crowd, he played Morris.
Oh,
the Indian guy, yeah, with the thick glasses. Yeah, I think
he wouldn't be bad
because that voice. He's got that kind of run down, kind of just cut. He was in the Vampire. I think he would be perfect for that. and he fit in. And like I said, he's just got that tone, and you definitely want him to have a British accent.
He's got to have a British accent. It would look weird without one. He can't give him like a regular, you know, hey man, what's up? I'm depressed. Like, nah, it wouldn't work.
You don't want him to have an emo thing?
No, man. I don't want no
chemical. Do a lot of with the hair.
Yeah. What's up, man? What's going on? Where am I in space? I'm gonna go back to my room.
All right. So, you have anything else?
I got one more thing. Have you seen the G.I. Joe Classified line of action figures at all?
Yes, I have.
They're really cool. They released Roadblock recently, and I got the pictures pulled up. Superherohype.com. If you want to check it out, the images really detailed. I mean, I just like the fact that these figures that I bought that were like the 4-inch ones are now like 6 or 7 inches, and the detail in them is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. They come with a couple different hands, a couple different weapons. Look at that. And that's Roadblock. I mean, it's not Dwayne Johnson Roadblock, but he comes up with a giant gun, which I call the Predator gun from Jesse Ventura. But it looks pretty good. And these are price points about $20, but just the detail on them looks really, really cool. I'm big on figures, guys, but I'm not sure what you feel about that.
I mean, I like what they're doing with them. I think the that price point's normal for all of those. As far as it goes for action figures, you know, especially ones that good we grew ones, up with.
Yeah. Like back then they still only cost like what, $5.99, $7.99?
Yeah, depending. Like, well, again, you're getting better quality. You gotta realize the articulation on these things and the life expectancy on these newer ones
are a lot
better. Yeah. I was looking at actually because I wanted to get some of my old G.I. Joes back, and one of the ones I really, really, really wanted that were like top of my list was Serpentor, and I wanted to get to him. Ooh, with the original chariot, the hover chariot. And I was checking out some like reviews on them, and they're like, no, literally, if you get the original one, you can't touch it. Like, you literally need to keep it in the box. They're so brittle. The rubber band that was, you know, inside to hold it together is just, they fall apart. I mean, that's what happened to mine. My mom, unbeknownst to her, what was going on, she put them all up in the attic. And here, you know, down in Florida, we get freaking humidity like you wouldn't believe. Throw that in an attic that's like twice the humidity. When I moved back and I was pulling my stuff out, I was like, oh, look, my action figures. And I think I picked up Roadblock, and his legs split and his body went down. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Every single one of them was ruined because that rubber band dried out. But I hear the ones that came out about 15 years ago are better quality. And again, that's right now, you know, they're all like really copying what McFarlane's doing as far as the quality, not only the quality of the designs, but also the quality of the build.
Yep. Yeah. They're definitely like the articulation, the build, the thickness in these figures too. I think a McFarlane figure is very thick as well, which I like, especially their build of figures, like the Bane figure that I have up there. It's high quality and it's heavy too, so it's no rubber bands or anything like that. It was a pain in the ass to build, though. But
yeah, because I think they're actually locked in on sockets instead of being.
Yeah, I had to take a blow dryer and actually like blow dry like the bottom section to get the legs to go on. So long nightmare story, but it's holding up for now. So it's just standing up there. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. $19.99. I might start collecting these Joe figures, and if they come out with a Serpentor one, maybe.
That's one of my ones I wanted to get. But like I said, it's a hard, long, hard road to find some.
Oh yeah, so that's it, buddy. It's all I got. What you got next?
Oh, that is it, man. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in, subscribing, checking us out. Thank you guys for the likes on Facebook. Make sure you guys do follow us on Heroes Asylum at Facebook. We do a daily little chat, so I try to get folks to get interactive on there. It's been kind of quiet. We've kind of hit a stagnant little spot in our growth. So hopefully we'll see some more growth here soon with some newer things coming on. Like I said, Kane is in the midst of working on something. I think that a lot of folks are going to be interested to hear you and your future co-host soon to be.
Yep. All I'm going to say is pay attention to the Heroes of Asylum podcast page, because you might see somebody saying some things about a certain thing, but you know, let's just say somebody's going to be voicing their opinions about this said thing. So
yeah, you'll
know.
So if anybody, once you guys start seeing those, you'll definitely will want to join in and let your opinions be known about it, as well as we also have our Low Blows and Chair Shots podcast from Heroes Asylum and the Midnight Movies watch along and review. Like I said, we've got a plethora of shows going on. I'm in the midst of working on something else myself, just a solo project that's going to be tied in. It's not going to be very consistent, but something I've been a dream project of mine, and somebody made a comment to me about just do it, sort of get it done. So I'm going to be doing that. No, it's not the music thing because, well, I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, I kind of figured it wasn't the music thing, but that's something you should eventually.
Yeah. But hopefully, like I said, it's growing. I mean, we're almost at our 2.5 year mark with Heroes Asylum, so we're wanting to. Now it's the time to branch out. We've got Heroes locked down, but hopefully we'll see some more growth and more folks being interested in what we do. We are going to continue the every other week process, but we will eventually go back to consistent being here consistently.
Yes, I like the consistent being consistently.
Yeah. Consistently being consistent.
Let's get out of here.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys have a great week. Kane, what else you got there?
Check out our Twitter page at Heroes Asylum _podcast, Instagram at the Heroes Asylum, and as Mike eloquently said, check out Low Blows and Chair Shots. We do that. It has a Facebook page, Instagram page, and I think we have a Twitter page too. Check it out, and pay attention to the Facebook and podcast page for my secret little thing. And as always, from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum.